The following program is a production of the Recording Library of West Texas and is also available at recordinglibrary.org.
Welcome to Eyes on Psych with Lewis Busby, the show where we focus on not only the mental issues of the community, but the solutions as well. From anxiety-relieving techniques that you can practice at home, to services available to you and your loved ones right here in your own community. Now, without further ado, Eyes on Psych with Lewis Busby. Welcome to Eyes on Psych with Lewis Busby. I am Chris.
I'm Sarah.
And I am Lewis.
Really, Lewis?
You said be louder, so yes. I'm going to exasperate.
I said be louder. I didn't say talk differently.
Okay.
And we have a special guest here, actually. Lewis, would you care to introduce your compadre?
I would love to introduce Dr. Joseph. Dr. Joseph is a surgical oncologist for Texas Tech. And
that's about it.
Yeah, he's amazing. He don't want me to say anything else.
Nope.
We'll leave it at that then. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I just want to say Notre Dame for life.
Wow.
No.
Wow.
I know. I went there.
You did. I'm so sorry.
Hey, oldest college in the United States.
The thing.
Uh-huh. highest win percentage of any team in history in the United States. Yes.
Wow.
Is that coming from, what, women's gymnastics?
Oh, no. That is football, good sir. Oh,
because they really stack up. Yeah.
Not up in here.
They stack up against SEC teams really well.
Okay, real quick, Chris. I was telling him you're a comedian, so just do a few of your voices real quick.
Oh good yes. Lord.
Creepy old man.
The old man with the candy.
Oh, hey there, Sarah. Would you like some hard candy for you? Oh, she took it. Well, that was easy.
All right.
I don't know.
Welcome to our insanity. This is not Eyes on Psych. This is Insane Amongst Us.
Oh, okay.
Had a room, you'll notice.
Yeah. I needed that.
Yeah.
We do an ongoing thing, so you're going to be a part of that today.
Yes.
We persuade Chris that he's in an alternate universe, and this is really a padded room, and we're both doctors, and now you're the consultation doctor.
Yes, indeed. And we're really glad you're here, doctor, because we're having some major trouble with this.
I'll cut you, too.
He believes he's a radio show host. Okay.
He's lost his mind.
So, Sarah, as you are the one to do, please get us on subject.
I'll try. I really will. I feel a bit outnumbered today, so it might be a more difficult job than I'm used to.
I want to thank you for dressing up for me, by the way. I just want to put that out there.
Thank you very much. I wanted to look nice.
Yeah, the makeup is very nicely done.
Thank you.
She made Dr. Joseph feel like a pimp.
Seriously, what? You went there?
I said pimp.
Yeah, I know.
But as long as I do my voice high like that, it's humorous.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's not serious. If I'd been like, he feels like a pimp. Seriously, get out there and make us some money.
Yeah. Then it's offensive.
Yeah, then it's offensive.
Okay,
then. She's going to slap you before this show.
I'm still going to slap you.
Every show, it gets worse and worse. More sexual harassment. Don't you know?
Exactly. No, I didn't say anything.
Exactly.
I was joking. You know what? I'm not even going to talk anymore. You take the mic.
This is the off-subject thing I'm talking about. Okay.
We finally got a breakthrough through our patient.
Exactly.
I'm okay with that.
He gave up the mic. He gave it up. Okay. Right. So today, we're going to be talking about drug abuse and the epidemic thereof. So, I wanted to start off with the definition of a drug abuse.
Did you say drugs?
I did say drugs.
Say nope to dope.
Yes, please. I mean, no.
You've already had yours today.
Okay. Wait, no, I didn't take them.
We gave you the Haldol shuffle earlier. You
Are
don't
they
remember
stuck
that?
In your cheek?
I don't even know what that is, Lewis. Please explain that.
Why do you think you
we're
walk
already
around
off subject because you said that?
Okay, just go ahead. Go. Let's go.
Okay. Back to the definition of drug abuse. All right. And if I say this in a happy voice, maybe it'll be slightly funnier than it sounds. Okay.
Value.
So the basic, very bottom line definition that I'm finding when I was researching is the habitual taking of addictive or illegal drugs. After reading that, I was like, doy. All right, so a little bit more further into the definition would be addiction.
Was that
is
the
a,
second line on Google?
Right, yeah, okay, yeah. Or the second page, rather.
Oh, wow, whole second page.
I try to be
that
a better
researcher.
That is advanced
research.
I'm
right
a history
there.
Grad student right now, so I try to be a good researcher.
Wow.
All right, so addiction is a more complex condition. So it's a brain disease that is manifested by compulsive substance use despite harmful consequence. So, question. For both of you, actually. Some call these addicts, some call them victims of a disease. I would like both of you to give your thoughts on the disease definition and how you define drug abuse.
All right. So one of the things that I absolutely hate are people that say that alcoholism is a disease. Really? It's not the disease. The alcoholism is not the problem. The problem is the genetic predisposition to addiction.
Of course you do.
Yeah. So they say that the alcohol, it's a genetic predisposition to addiction, period. Drugs, sex, happiness, and whatever your addiction is. That's the problem.
I don't think you should be comparing alcohol and sex to happiness in terms of addiction.
I kind of feel like they're really close to each other, I'll be honest with you.
That's exactly what I'm saying,
I learned from The Simpsons, it's the cause and solution.
That was so off topic. Y'all are driving me crazy.
What just happened?
Nothing. Okay, go ahead.
Louis, that is the first, I think, honestly, inappropriate thing you've ever said on the show.
It is, it is.
I'm bringing you with me. Come to the padded room.
The dark side.
On cue, on cue.
So I will disagree with the genetic part, but other than us, I will.
How so?
Well, a comedian once said that it may be a disease, but it's the only disease you can get yelled at for having.
So here's my argument on that. They say alcoholism is a genetic predisposition. It is not.
I disagree.
Why?
Yeah, I don't think it's genetic.
Okay, no, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I agree with you.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Perfect.
Okay, so y'all are
we're taking video, right?
Yes.
I think if I get a counselor and a doctor fighting on video, I am going to be famous. So please continue this conversation.
Please.
Louis, he insulted your beliefs. Fire back.
I will choke him out.
Okay. So the disease, and am I, correct me if I'm wrong, that's kind of a popular belief or popular word, maybe a PC word to use now when talking about drug abuse or alcoholism or something like that, but you don't agree
with
that.
It is not the genetic predisposition for alcohol or for the specific drug. It's the genetic predisposition for addiction.
Hmm, okay, so.
But they try to claim it is, like the alcoholics and all of them, they claim it is the alcohol that you are genetically predispositioned to. That is a fallacy.
It's addiction itself that you are.
I agree.
Right.
I think my argument is I don't necessarily know if there's a genetic predisposition as much as there might be environmental issues. But
it's true, too. It's a mix.
And or both. But, sorry.
It's not me
today. I just shoved the mic into his face and I'm like, louder. Come on, dance for everybody. You want to be a star, don't you?
Clarice, it puts the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
Whether the money comes when I'm taking things off or putting them back on, it's still money.
I don't care either way. I mean, $20 is $20.
Exactly.
All right. So what were you going to say, Dr. Joe?
So it's just, I agree with you that it's the predisposition to addiction, and then what they get addicted to depends on their environment and what they're
saying. So it could have easily been something else.
Happiness, for example.
Anything.
All right, then. Okay. That's interesting.
I tried to snort happiness earlier today. Didn't work out.
Before or after a surgery?
I did.
During.
During. Now that's awesome. Have you ever done a line off of somebody's liver? I didn't think so.
Oh, God.
Today I did 7.53 miles at the wildlife reserve. That's my happiness.
Nice. Good for
you. I saw that you took your mom out there not too long ago.
She is kicking butt. By the way, and I know Dr. Joseph is going to absolutely hate me for this.
Yep.
Oh, no.
But my mother literally was a few days away from death, and guess who saved her life? Honest to God.
Oh, wow.
Dr. Joseph?
Honest to God.
Wasn't
he? Oh, wow.
He did. He absolutely did.
We can just put a halo on you right now.
Sir, Shaggy said, say it wasn't me when you're caught cheating, not when you're caught saving somebody's life.
Exactly.
I find from Shaggy's advice that if you deny it now, works out much better in the long run.
I didn't save her at all.
I didn't do it. Wasn't me.
No,
let's go for it.
As a matter of fact, I tried to kill her. No. No, he didn't. I'm joking.
Now we've gone to the bad place.
If you'd like to kill my mother, I'm totally cool with that.
Oh!
Whoa!
This is on Facebook.
Now there's a charity I can get behind.
Oh, yeah, God.
See? So what are we talking here? How much money?
Oh, God.
You'll have to talk to my brother.
Oh, okay. Right. And I think it's my job to get us back on track again.
Yes, yes, please do.
So, understanding both the chemical and the emotional side. People with substance use disorders have a distorted way of thinking. Their behavior and body functions. Changes in the brain's wiring are what cause people to have intense cravings for the drug and make it hard to stop using the drug. So, Dr. Joseph, what exactly is going on in the brain when a substance is being abused?
Well, with any type of use, even normal use, you have basically upregulation of receptors, and the more and more you use, the less and less potent the same dose becomes, which right. is why you get an increasing amount.
Right.
I heard that because of the chemical receptors in your brain, what happens when you take drugs is you have a influx of those chemicals, and your brain creates more receptors in order to absorb those chemicals. Then once you are only producing what your body naturally produces as far as those chemicals go, the receptors that is created are basically starving, and that's mm-hmm. what causes the craving and the right. addiction.
Yep. The drug has...
Look at that. That is literally like half medical student right there.
I am Boom. Slightly impressed that you just used the word influx and receptors intelligently in a sentence.
Thank you, quantum physics, because that's where I learned it.
Boom.
I told you, I'm not smart on a whole lot of things, but I am obsessed with subatomic particles and
bosons and leptons.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, I am in. Dude.
What you know about that neutrino
yeah.
life?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Stephen Hawking, here we are.
Yes.
I had no idea.
What I was going to say on that I think is fascinating is that drugs increase the habit because of what y'all just said. And so... Like a normal habit, driving a car, it takes a little while, it becomes nature, you use less glucose, you don't have to continue, it becomes a habit. Mm-hmm. The neuronal connections fire.
Right.
But because of the drugs, it's more intensified, and so it's extremely harder to get a new habit to change afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's because you have a chemical, direct yes. chemical addiction.
And
right?
it's giving you pleasure.
Yeah. Which brings us to Viagra abuse.
Oh,
I'm kidding, I don't even want to go down that road. Old men.
Is that why you were walking around for a day with a tent?
I thought that's...
Wow.
Sorry.
Louis, you are batting 1,000 today.
I don't know what's
going on.
See,
they say that they're bringing... They say that this is an actual mental hospital, and I'm the patient. If that's the case, then I'm bringing the doctors down with me, hence why they need a second doctor on hand, because I'm already tainting these two.
It's kind of like a borderline thing.
I'm fairly certain that's my definition of a line of happiness.
It's like reverse... it's like reverse Stockholm syndrome is what
right.
it is.
A little bit.
We're going to have to call it like the Chris Brown syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
Brazown syndrome.
I'm
there it goes.
Take you to Brown Town. Wait, no, that's a
no,
different thing.
No, I would definitely, yeah.
No,
yeah.
Okay, let's check.
Listen.
No.
We could talk about that definitely off air.
Okay.
Off air is good.
Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely off air. Okay. So, according to sources, an individual who's living with a drug addiction for an extended period of time may begin to experience a number of serious psychological problems as a result of the dependence on the drug. Among the most common long-term psychological effects are depression, paranoia, and or anxiety. So, Louis, how do you tackle these effects? How do some of these effects manifest themselves in drug abusers? And how do you tackle the aftermath of drug abuse as a counselor?
That is such a broad question.
I know, right?
She's like, Louis, tell me the universal code of life.
And that's very sexist, Louis. I don't appreciate that.
For I didn't mean broad.
One, calling her a broad. For two, saying it's a female issue only. Come on.
Right.
Yeah, seriously. I feel like I need to stand up for women in this show.
So here's a few things.
She's the only one who can.
I need help, ladies.
If you think about most addictions... You need it, like y'all said, especially with the drugs. You need it more and more and more and more. So eventually, I mean, there's many ways you could go at this, but eventually you'll destroy your life. You'll destroy your social networking. You will start to do things that you would never do to get the drugs, and you will become really heavily dependent on it. So your life will become... A heroin addict once told me this. He said, this is my life.
Do you have any heroin?
No. He did ask, never mind. He came in asking for opioids. I said, I'm not a doctor. But anyhow, so what happened, he told me that this is how he lives his life. And it was really, really sad but profound.
Oh, geez.
He said, he wakes up, he scrounges around for some money, he works 2 or 3 hours to get the money, then he waits 2 or 3 hours for the drug dealer to come, then he does it. It lasts 15 minutes. And he starts the whole process over again. So he lives his life
for 15 minutes
a day.
Wow.
Well,
really
what depressing. I see, that's just poor management of time. Aside from the drug abuse, what I'm saying is if he's working 2 or 3 hours,
of drug addiction,
and then
go.
He has to wait on the drug dealer another 2 or 3 hours, he could be working while he's waiting on the drug dealer, working a total of 6 hours, making double that and having 30 minutes of pleasure.
Or getting a better
so
dealer.
So your argument is that he's just a bad drug abuser.
Yeah, get a dealer that's closer. I mean, seriously, what's this commute going on here?
What are your overheads, good sir?
What is the overhead? No, that. And I agree with you. He should work the extra 3 hours. If nothing else, save some of the elders.
I mean, he's not doing anything else.
Yeah, but then he's having withdrawals.
The basis of your argument is that a drug abuser would have any kind of logic at all.
Well, they're too busy shooting for
it. It is not my job to argue the semantics of the moral abuse.
Now, you have to understand what their work
entails. I'm just a business manager here. So.
At that point, their work entails robbing from their neighbors and their friends and their family members.
Right.
And yeah, 6 hours of that would be better.
Right.
Or for the purpose he's serving, not for the people who are getting robbed. I mean, I know. They tend to get angry. But here's on the bright side. Either A, he's going to get caught a lot quicker and get sober because he can't do the drugs in jail. Or B, actually, I can't even say that. That's just mean.
Oh, no.
Still, he worded it kind of like this. Wake up, take a dump, take a shower, still, drug, fence, withdrawal, or still, fence, withdrawal, drug. Still, fence, withdrawal, drug. Still, fence, withdrawal, drug. Go to sleep.
Wow.
That's his life.
Wow.
Okay, now let's continue.
Thank you, Lewis. It's Friday, and I'm depressed now.
You're welcome. Your dreams are nothing to me. Welcome you could to be the dark side.
You could be a drug abuser.
How do you think I get...
A little bit. Right?
According to sources.
Chris, a little bit.
How do you think I get more patients? I make you all depressed.
Oh, snap.
Okay, let's go.
It's like the Bush administration all over again.
To all of you listening, I'm... Oh, damn.
We just went political.
Oh, man.
And now my charity seems much more brilliant. Yeah. Who's on the right side now?
Can we just have a moment?
Right. A little bit. Okay.
This is getting fun.
This has been fun from the start.
What's the next question for us?
Okay, so the difficulty. In today's world, stress and the fast-paced environment often cause some to look to substances to ease pressure. Intoxication is the intense pleasure, calm, increased senses, or high-caused... I did not read that correctly at all.
And these are the signs of drug abuse. Sarah, see, what you don't realize is this is actually an intervention.
Yes.
Your eyes are.
We all care about you, Sarah.
Sure you do. Sure you do. I am working with finals right now, people. You're just lucky I sound somewhat functional right now. So.
Because she hasn't had her fix.
By the way, a common addiction for people.
Which one is it? Drugs? Fence?
Yeah.
The most common addiction for people in any kind of school is Adderall.
Sure.
Dude, I can get on board with that. I remember. Never mind.
Yeah.
I ain't talking about nothing. You don't have to have a warrant.
Yeah. Okay. So, intoxication is the intense pleasure or calm, increased senses, or...
Slurred speech.
Intoxication symptoms are different for each substance, obviously. But the intense pleasure or calm that comes with them is... Seriously, Chris, what is wrong with you?
I'm just laughing at you while you're reading intoxication symptoms. You're like, you're talking like you're intoxicated. So it cracks me up, which is hilarious. If you know Sarah, I think she's had a drink in the past year, like a whole one drink.
I was going to say, just go off of what you've done in the past, but never mind.
Yeah,
Has she? Maybe it's just a cover. Maybe
promo time. Kavita, Master Brewed Kombucha.
It helped you get off the alcohol.
Okay. Continue.
I don't know if it will. Don't hold me to that.
Exactly.
What we got?
So, over time, people with addictions build up a tolerance to this intense intoxication, pleasure-causing sensation.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I know.
You could be a rapper. This intoxication sensation proclamation
is an estimation of the nation.
Oh, God.
Leaves me with elation.
So you build up a tolerance, meaning you need larger amounts. This, in turn, becomes the drug abuse. We already covered that. But the question being, some believe they actually need the substance to survive. Why is that untrue, and how would you explain that to someone with an addiction? First, Lewis, then Dr. Joseph.
All right, so it depends on the addiction, and sometimes that is not untrue. Actually, sometimes, like with a severe alcoholic, if they don't have medical help, they will die from it if they stop doing it.
Right.
Or a severe opioid addict, or someone that's on Suboxone, which, by the way, pisses me off with these. Oh, I'm sorry, but you must agree.
Lewis,
if someone has a heroin addiction, they turn around and give them something like Suboxone, or what's the other one?
Methadone.
What's the difference?
That's my stuff right there.
And then they give them more. Like, there's one doctor... I'm not going to name names, but he gave one of my patients and he was almost off, and he had changed to methadone. To get off methadone, he gave him 3 tabs of Suboxone daily. I weaned him off, but the doctor kept giving him 3.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was messed up.
That's counterproductive.
Yeah, so the
Where
answer...
Where can I find said doctor?
No, I'm not telling. No. So the answer to your question is...
I've got a number, don't worry.
That's why you my boy.
My boy.
You're my boy, Blue.
Twice
my boy,
in a row,
Blue.
Dr. Joseph.
There you go. Oh. We're going streaking.
There's way too much testosterone in this room for me.
So to answer the question is that, ironically, some of them are absolutely untrue. Without medical assistance, you know, potassium, all of these things that are necessary for someone coming off B12s, Bs, and all that, yeah, they could die.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Your answer, Dr. Joseph.
My answer,
I'm sorry.
Mine's very different. Lewis's point about the methadone, Suboxone treatments, they are used, there.
Oh, revenge. We'll get revenge later.
I'm sorry, I pushed the mic a little bit too far.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Okay. I was trying to help. I wasn't trying to hinder.
So everyone watching, this is why we are actually, we're not high. We are on
Sugar
Ultra Eco Organic Black Truffles from Nature's Grocers. No, I'm not making money off
them. You got any more of them truffles?
Okay, Dr. Joseph, what were you saying? I'm sorry.
So those treatments have been useful for patients that are method or heroin addicts, or those that are on, I will tell you, especially patients who are on chronic pain medication. Mm-hmm. They have been useful in general. You know, as I'm on the other end, I'm as a surgeon, I am prescribing a fair amount of narcotics, and
right.
Yours is a necessity, though.
True. The problem is there's actually a very new study that came out that patients who are given upwards of 2 weeks, as long as they're on pain medicine for 2 weeks, their likelihood of becoming addicted goes up by almost 70%.
Speaking of which, doctor, I think my appendix hurts right now.
We can take that out right here.
My teeth itch.
So what you forgot to say, hey, what you forgot
you ever watched Stuff Spies by Like Us? Trust me, we can figure it out right here.
Hey, you should have known what you were saying. He's not a general doctor. He's a surgeon.
Yeah. I know, that's why
so
I
you don't
said
get the drugs, you get the removal.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh.
Heal with cold steel, my friend.
Oh, goodness.
Fine, I'm down. Let's do this cold turkey. Let's see what happens.
Oh, God.
When you're wrong, just admit it and walk away.
Yeah. Hey, I'm just saying, I mean, I would be a legend if I got through that.
I've done it, actually, on a couple folks, yeah.
Well, so, I withdraw. It's already been done.
Dr. Joseph, yes, I agree that it can be useful, but would you agree that a lot of doctors are overprescribing it to continue having patients?
So there's two parts to that, and it's actually a really complicated question. Mm-hmm. Number one, they're, for those of you who don't work in the healthcare area, they're, for the longest time, was what's called leapfrog surveys. So they survey patients after they see you. And the patients score you from a score of 1 to 10. Anything below a 10 score is considered a mark off. Now, hospitals and insurance companies reimburse based off of some of those scores.
I don't give anybody a 10, though. I mean, because nobody's
correct.
Perfect. I think an 8 is amazing.
Yes. Well, yeah. They don't. And here's the problem. One of the classic questions that, especially in our office, we run into is, was your pain adequately treated? The problem with that is if I have a patient who is coming back asking for pain medicine over and over and over and over again that I know is clearly
they're not
they
addict.
Don't need it.
Yeah.
My score is going to go down.
So ironically,
every so it's like a catch-22 for any doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, primary care doctors.
Because you take
this.
The oath not to do harm, but you know you're harming this person by giving them that, but you're also harming your career if you don't.
Correct.
And that just stinks.
And the other problem is, right? You patients, and rightfully so, have multiple avenues to complain about anything,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Everything from the hospital to your employer all the way to the Texas Medical Board. So there are a fair number of avenues, and it's not like I get to complain. You know, I had a patient actually physically punch one of my nurses in the office.
Oh, my God.
Hurt her. And We have no recourse whatsoever.
Mom, see, that's why I didn't become a doctor, because I totally knew these things he was saying right now that I'm surprised by. Because, that's why I didn't become a doctor. I didn't want to, you know, be subject to that kind of thing that he said. So,
are you done now?
Just saying, screw you, Mom. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. My mom is going to beat me when she hears this.
I just want to say, rightfully so, I love you, Mom.
I love you too, Mommy, and I'm sorry I said I'm a clean yard when I get home.
Let's continue.
Okay. So, kind of by accident while I was doing research, I found one of the most common drugs that get abused are pharmaceutical drugs, which was surprising to me for some reason. I don't know why. But non-medical use and abuse of prescription drugs is a growing health problem in the United States. Annually, more people die from prescribed pain relievers than any illegal drugs combined, which I found, like, crazy.
Well, it's total pharmaceutical deaths.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So that not only counts for pain medication, that also is your Adderalls, your amphetamines, all of your kind of different agents.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So for our listeners, what can they do to prevent themselves from becoming addicted to a substance of this kind?
Goodness. So there's a lot of really hippie things I could say.
Yeah, so I would tell you from a pharmaceutical side, number one, stop the moment you don't need it. Pain medicine, a classic, is I tell patients all the time, if you need it for 3 days, take it for 3 days. The moment you can tolerate and take the pain medicine over the counter, Tylenol, Motrin, yada, yada, stop.
You don't have to take it the amount that it says on the bottle.
Correct. Number two, go ahead.
I was just going to say, in personal experience, I've been very fortunate with things like that, having a tooth removed. Dentist is like, here's some hydrocodone. It's like, wow, okay. And
did you take them all?
God, no. I took like two out of the bottle. And
sold the rest.
I wish.
Right.
No, what actually happened, sadly, was I took two, and then I kept the bottle around. I was like, if I, you know, mess myself up and I need to go to the hospital, it would be really nice to not be in pain the whole time.
But there's a problem to that.
I know.
What do you think the problem is?
They expire.
No, nope. Besides that, the problem is when they do your test and they see you're in there, they're not going to believe you have pain.
I don't care. I still have
drugs.
And
they're not going to give you another.
And the other bigger problem is, classically, you know,
someone stole them from me. That's what happened to
correct.
Them.
Correct. Yeah, and that's actually very common.
He's liable for it. Correct.
Well, not necessarily.
I had like some Darvocet and some hydrocodones in my medicine cabinet for like over a year, and then they just walked away.
If you have narcotics, aren't you legally supposed to lock them up?
At home, you do not have to.
Okay.
So, for example, if someone was at your house, took those medicines, and then crashed their car, you could absolutely be held liable.
Whoa.
Now, the fact that they walked away from you and so on and so forth.
The joke's on them. Most addicts at that level don't own cars because they're poor.
That's true. Your house, so guess what?
Touche.
Exactly.
Now, recently,
that just means they're within walking distance of your house. Congratulations.
Recently, we've had a lot of deaths from homeless people that are on drugs getting hit.
Yep.
Their family can sue you.
Oh, geez.
Homeless people don't have families. Eat balls in your court.
He's so cold.
They're soulless people.
Your move, holy man.
All right. Okay. Let's give him another Haldol shot. Let's go.
But yeah, I encourage patients on pain medicine to come off as quickly as possible.
Right.
Use other modalities, massage, yoga, yada, yada, whatever.
Absolutely.
Sure, hypnosis, any of those things. For patients that are on longer-term medications, finding alternatives that are longer-acting. Longer-acting medications often do not create as much of the addictive personality, you know, traits as short-acting medications do.
So get the good stuff.
I can't answer that any better. He did good.
Woohoo! That's a perfect note to end.
No, you shot Lewis up.
Boom!
10 out of 10.
Seacrest out.
One more thing, guys.
Seacrest out. Nice.
I wanted to once again thank Dr. Joseph for coming in.
Absolutely.
And to let y'all all know I love y'all.
We love you too, Lewis.
All right.
And thank you for the things that you brought us that we're drinking that I can't pronounce.
Kombucha. One more. Kombucha.
And I got a mushroom mini farm.
Yes, he did.
That sounds slightly dirty.
I think I'm just going to take a stab that since we're talking about drugs, this could be a really good mushroom farm. I'm just saying.
let me show him real quick.
Well, if Lewis had told me, I'm going to get you my mushroom mini farm.
I bought Dr. Joseph an organic mushroom mini farm. The reason I did that is because a little known fact, besides Dr. Joseph being a world-class amazing surgeon.
He's also a vegetarian.
He's a world-class chef.
Ooh.
I like to cook, yes.
He doesn't ever give himself any credit.
No.
Well, guys.
Yes, I'm simple.
We have to end on that note. I love you, Lewis. Thank you, Doctor, for coming in. Sarah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a good day.
That's all the time we have for Eyes on Psych this week. Please join us again next week where we'll talk about more issues, more solution techniques, and more services available to you in your community. Until then, hang in there. You're stronger than you realize.
This program was a production of the Recording Library of West Texas and is also available at recordinglibrary.org.